It is so cool the way that God places us in family. It's so cool for me the way that God places us in bigger family, like Vineyard Community. And today, I have the awesome privilege, the honor of introducing you guys to one of the folks who actually got me involved in the Vineyard. It was about 26 years ago that I met a fellow named Steve. He prayed for me, one of the first times that somebody actually laid hands, prayed for me, and I experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Steve has been up here this weekend. He's been interacting with the HLI students. He spoke at their graduation this morning. And Steve, why don't you come on up here? Steve is going to be speaking to us today. This is the first time. I've known this guy for 26 years. And he is really one of the reasons that there is a Vineyard Church in Duluth. And he's one of the reasons that there's a Vineyard Church on the Iron Range. We want to say hi to the range. And Brenda and I so appreciate all the different ways that Steve and his wife Cindy have spoken into our lives and encouraged us and blessed us. And so we asked Steve to come share with us this weekend, and man, I am so glad that you're here.
Why don't you welcome him?
Thank you, Michael. Hello, everybody. I think it's finally safe to say that winter's over, and it's time to have fun. And I want to talk to you tonight about making your faith fun. You know, one of the things the people I love to hang out with the most are people whose faith is new, who just started like realizing that they could get connected with God and have a life with Jesus. And it's just so much fun. It's like it's all new. They ask great questions. They do crazy things. You know, I know one woman, like when she first realized that she could have a relationship with God, she couldn't talk for 2 days. You know, and then when that was over, she couldn't stop reading her Bible. It was like, you know, she just kept going back to it, couldn't stop. She was like obsessed. You know, it's wonderful to be around those kind of people, and it makes it fun. And I think a lot of us begin our life of faith that way. It's like full of joy, full of fun. We can't wait. I remember I used to like run into church because I didn't want to miss 30 seconds of worship. Now, you know, I kind of come dragging in, you know, like you wonder like what happened to some of us. You remember what it was like when you first started following Jesus? And what happens? You know, it's sort of like somewhere along the way, maybe the fun gets lost. Maybe it becomes more of a duty instead of a privilege. So let's think a little bit about that and what can make our faith fun again. And I think part of it has to do with how we pray. Take a look at these two verses. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And you know, it's when I look at those verses, the thing that kind of sticks out is they're basically telling us that God is inviting us to pray for everything. Everything. All kinds of ways, like whatever it is. It says, present your request to God. Pray with all kinds of prayers. Pray for everything. You know, prayer makes a difference, and we should pray for everything. Prayer changes things. It changes our perspective. It changes our attitudes. And after all, we have a loving Heavenly Father, so why shouldn't we pray for everything? And if we do, it says, the weight of worry and concern can be lifted. And that's one of the things that new followers of Jesus always do. When people first start off, they like, when they suddenly realize they can pray and that there's actually somebody listening, like they want to pray for everything. Just like everything you can imagine. I asked some people about some of the more interesting things they prayed for and got when they first started following Jesus. Here are some of the answers. One person said, my 40th birthday gift from God, free laser surgery on my eyeballs. Another person, we were married only weeks, so my husband's wedding ring slipped off while tubing on the Truckee River. He went back the next day, asked God for mercy and help, floated down in the same area, and felt prompted by the Lord to look in a particular place and found the ring. Woohoo! God is good. I know someone who prayed for an iPod and got it. I also know someone who prayed for free housing during grad school and got that. One person wrote back to me, when my oldest daughter was 4, she asked if we could pray for Jesus to put a baby sister in mommy's tummy. We prayed, and my wife woke up the next day with morning sickness, which lasted the entire 9 months until our second daughter was born. So you might want to think twice about letting your 4-year-old pray. You know, of course, we all pray when big stuff comes, when something serious happens. Like, we pray when we're in trouble. Even people who aren't even trying to follow God, when they're in trouble, they pray. When we lose our job, when someone we love is sick, when we're in serious trouble, we pray. But, you know, those kind of prayers never kind of leave us with the feeling that this is fun, that it's an adventure. It's all too serious, too desperate. And I really think that the key to keeping faith fresh and keeping it fun, as well as serious, is to pray all the time for everything, and especially for the little things. The key is prayer for the little things. That's what new followers of Jesus do, that the older followers like me don't sometimes, is praying for all the little things. The things that don't matter much. That's what makes faith fun and real and exciting. So, you know, what are little things? You know, well, when I think of what the little things are, I think it's maybe little things we want. Maybe it's things we've lost, like a wedding ring. Other little annoying problems of day-to-day life. If you're in Chicago, it might just be as simple as, oh, God, help me find a parking place. I've noticed in Duluth, you don't worry about parking places. You just park wherever. Maybe that's the same in the Iron Range. You guys do the same thing. But in Chicago, you don't do that. So we pray for parking places. Whatever it is, it's those kinds of little things. Things that aren't life-threatening. Things that aren't really significant, but just little issues. Those are little things. One time, my wife and I were doing a series of meetings at one of our churches in Iowa. And we stayed in this hotel, and on Sunday morning, we packed up, we got ready to go, we were going to go to the church service that morning, and then we're going to drive back home to Chicago. And when we got ready to pack up to go to church, I could not find my iPod. And I looked all over, I looked in my briefcase 3, 4, 5 times, I looked in the car, I looked in the room, I looked everywhere, and I could not find my iPod. And finally, we just had to go. It was time to go to church. So we're going through the worship, and the whole time I'm sitting there in the worship thinking, I lost my iPod. I lost my iPod. I'm going to have to get another iPod. That's all I can think about. You know, everybody's worshiping Jesus. I'm sitting there, I lost my iPod. Finally, I said, all right, God, look. You know, I lost my iPod, and I could just go home and get another one. But it's kind of a waste of kingdom money. Could you just tell me where my iPod is and help me find my iPod? And, you know, then we can both come out ahead. And immediately, a picture comes into my mind of the motel room where we'd just been, and that there was one of those beds, one of those rooms, there's two beds, and we didn't use one of them. And so the bedspread on that other bed was down on the floor, and he showed me this picture of my iPod under the corner of the bedspread on the floor, under the other bed. And it was just as clear as a bell. And as it turned out, we'd already planned. My wife was giving the message that morning. So I like stood up in the middle of the worship and walked out. And I got in my car and I thought, I've got to get to that room before the cleaning lady gets there. Went back to the hotel, said, you know, I forgot something in my room. Can you let me back in? They let me back in. I went straight to that corner of that bed, looked under the bedspread, and there was my iPod. Simple little thing. But you know what? When that happens, you know how you feel at the end? It's like, you feel like, hey, this thing like really works. Like, maybe God really does love me. Maybe he even wants to spoil me a little bit. One woman said, I lost my phone when I went out one day. I prayed that God would help me get it back. A little while later, I got an email from my college. A taxi driver had picked up my phone in the middle of the road and called the last number I dialed, which was my college. He left his phone number with them, and they emailed it to me. And when I called him, he drove my phone across town to give it back to me. Another person says, one day I went out garage sailing. I pulled out of my driveway and headed down the street thinking about what I needed and what I should be looking for. And she puts a little parenthesis here. If you don't have a clear idea of what you want to buy at garage sales, you end up with a bunch of junk that seemed like a good idea. In the back of my mind, not really consciously, but just in the back of my mind, I thought, I needed to get a loft bed for my son. But of course, I'm not going to find that at a garage sale. It's way too unusual, so I won't even pray about it. And I was still thinking that. She was still in the middle of that sentence. I'm not even going to pray about this. She says, when I turned the corner, saw the garage sale I was heading for, and there, could that be, yes, a loft bed sitting on the driveway. But wasn't in good condition. I got there and inspected it. Perfect condition. And it was such a lesson to me, and the gentlest of rebukes, that God answers prayer even before you ask, and you should never not bother because you won't get it. A couple of years ago, I met this young guy from England that was over here for a conference, and somebody had said, you really ought to meet this guy, Steve Nicholson. So I met with him and talked to him, and he tells me his story, and he tells me, you know, he hadn't been a follower of Jesus very long, and some of the things that he had done after he started following Jesus. And as he's sharing about that, he's talking about how much fun it was. And You know, it just made me feel so much younger, you know, and full of faith just talking to him. And like one of the stories he told me is like he was hanging out with a bunch of his friends and they decided there was a movie they wanted to watch. And it was one of these older movies and they'd all agreed this is what we want to see. And so they went to the video store to get it and they didn't have it anymore. It wasn't there. And they came back, and they couldn't get it. And they're all, like, moaning and groaning, well, we couldn't get the movie we wanted to watch. And he said, in front of all of his friends, none of whom are following Jesus, well, let's ask God to help us find this movie. And he does it on the spot. Dear God, please help us find, and he named the movie. I forget what the name it was. You know, please help us find this movie. And they're all, like, laughing at him. You know, you're crazy. You know, you can't, like, just pray and ask God for the movie. So he walks out the back door into the backyard of this house. And as he walks out the door, the neighbor walks out of his back door. And they're right next to each other, just with the fence in between them. And he looks over, and the neighbor is holding a video in his hand. And he says, what video is that? And it's the one he's looking for. And the neighbor comes over and says, hey, you want to watch it? It's really good. And hands it to him. And he turns around, walks back into the thing, and says, here it is, guys. I got it. Not more than 5 minutes after they prayed in front of everybody, God, give us this movie. So I asked him, so do you still do that? And he said, no. And I said, why not? Why did you stop? And why do we stop? Why don't we do that? Well, I think one reason we stop is that we think the things that we're praying for are too small to bother God with. Like, really? You can ask God to help you find a movie you want to watch? Really? But you know what Matthew 10 says? It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. If God bothers to number your hairs, then apparently he really does care about every little detail. You know, we might think that things are too insignificant, but you know what? Our Heavenly Father cares about us so much that nothing's too small for him. You know what? Let me tell you this. God is big enough for the big things, and he's also big enough for all the small things, and he's still got plenty extra. It's not like we're going to run out of God. It's not like, you know, if we pray for little things, there won't be anything left over for big stuff. It's not like it's going to run out. It's not like a limited commodity. He's got plenty for all of it. So, you know, don't hold back. Ask away. Ask for everything. Ask for the little stuff. It actually says, pray for everything. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, or really nothing prayed for, nothing gained. You don't even have to be sure you believe in Jesus yet. Maybe you're like, oh, what is this Jesus? I dare you. Just try asking God for stuff and see what happens. You know, sometimes it's easy to just go through my routine tasks and leave God out of it. And I wonder how much different life would be if I just talked to God about every little thing. Sometimes we don't pray for the little things because we think it's too childish. Like, you really can't, you can't ask God for stuff like that. That's like childish. That's what children, but you know what? Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. He basically says, you know what? You need to be more childish. You need to be more like a child. You know what? What is it about kids? Children. Well, you know what? Children never hesitate to ask whatever they want. I've now got 4 grandchildren. When my grandchildren come over to my house, they ask for stuff, and they get everything. Anything within reasonable possibility, they get. You know, then I send them home, and then mom and dad have to deal with the consequences. But that's the way it is with kids. And you know, parents, even parents who kind of have to deal with the consequences, will move heaven and earth to meet even the minor needs of a child they love if they can. And it's not bad for the child. I know, like, there's this one kid in our church who has a sleeping blanket. He called it a lie-lie. And they went on a trip, like a 3-hour driving trip to grandma's house. They got all the way to grandma's house. And they found out that they'd forgotten the lie-lie, the sleeping blanket, back home. And the kid is like devastated. How can I sleep? I can't sleep without my blanket. So what did dad do? He got back in the car, drove 3 hours all the way back, got the sleeping blanket, and drove all the way back to grandma and grandpa's so his little boy could have his sleeping blanket. That's what loving parents do. And you don't think your loving Heavenly Father would do the same? Of course, sometimes there's a no. Like my youngest child, for several years in a row, asked for an electric motorized car. And we knew he would ride it for one day, and then he would discover he could go faster on his tricycle, and that would be the end of it, and we'd have a $600 piece of electrified metal. The answer was no. Our Heavenly Father is the same. Sometimes the answer is no. But you know, mostly, he's kind of like I am with my grandchildren. He just loves to make us happy and delighted. And he loves when we, as little children, ask him for all the little things in our life. Sometimes we don't ask for the little things because we maybe think it's too selfish. Like, can you really, like, ask for, like, selfish things? You know, like, really? Like, I want to watch a movie? Help me do it? Like, I want this thing, this gadget? Help me get that? But you know what? Matthew 6 says, give us today our daily bread. Prayer is not just for great spiritual things or even for other people. Jesus himself taught us to simply pray for daily bread, our daily needs. And if God thinks your request is out of line, he can, of course, always say no, but we should be like kids and never just go ahead and ask. So one woman told me, she says, before we got married, I prayed that my husband, Jared, would break up with his girlfriend and date me instead. Now, that's the ultimate in selfish prayer, right? She says, selfish, huh? A few years later, I prayed that he would leave his Korean Presbyterian church and attend the North Jersey Vineyard with me. I know, again, selfish. We're married and we're both on staff here now. You know, there are a number of reasons why we should pray for little things more. First of all, praying for little things, I think, is the natural response to the love of Jesus. If you really believe he loves you, why wouldn't you pray for little things? It's not like we're negotiating with some big tycoon. We're talking about a loving father. And you know what else? It increases our sense of intimacy with God. A lot of people say, I need to feel close to God. How can I feel more close to God? Let me tell you something. 95% of life is made up of little things. That's what most of life is. 5% of it is drama and big stuff. And 95% of it is little stuff, doing your laundry and watching movies and all that kind of stuff. And if you exclude God from the 95%, then you've like cut out most of your life. If you really want to feel close to God, then share all of your life with him. And that means sharing all the little stuff, all the daily stuff, all the mundane stuff. Praying about all of that makes your whole life more connected with God and will help you feel closer to God. What's more, if you pray for little stuff and you figure out you can pray for something that's lost or pray for something you need and God answers it, it increases your faith and it's going to make it easier when you have to pray for something really big and really serious. What's more, when we pray for little stuff every day, it shows us and reminds us and helps us live in daily dependence upon God. Maybe part of the reason we don't do it is we just kind of want to do everything ourselves. But God really likes it when we depend on him. I think it really helps if we pray for little stuff. And finally, I think you should pray for little stuff just because it's a lot more fun. It's just more fun. So that's my simple point to you today. I want to encourage you to start praying for all the little things again. There's this one guy who said, occasionally I hear from people who disagree with me about some of the things I pray for, because he prays for all kinds of crazy little things. They might say, you shouldn't be praying for your pets. Which, by the way, let me just take a little side. One of the best prayer times in the history of our church was when a bunch of our kids raised a goldfish from the dead in front of their Jewish friend. Honest. Dead goldfish was raised. Anyway, he says, people tell him you shouldn't be praying for your pets. You ought not to be praying about your teeth. And sometimes these folks sound so sure about their convictions that I feel compelled to go to God and ask for his perspective on the matter. And when this happened recently, the Lord led me to the teaching of one of the most well-respected ministers of our time. And this godly man condemned what he called the sophistication and intellectualism which would prevent us from having the childlike faith that Jesus praised. You know, not only does this kind of cynicism and skepticism rob us of God's best, but it prevents us from having the intensely intimate relationship with God that he desires us to have. And as I thought about this man's words, I was reminded of one of the reasons why I began drifting away from God when I was growing up. I had learned about Christ as a young child, and I eagerly embraced my blossoming relationship with him, talking to him about anything and everything. But as I matured, I heard more and more people saying, you shouldn't be praying about that. Or you shouldn't be bothering God with things like that. And as a result, I began praying less and less. And I started seeing God as a cold and distant parent instead of a loving and compassionate one. And you know what? That's so true. I've noticed that a lot of people who've been following Jesus a long time seem to have kind of lost the fire, the enthusiasm. They treat God like he's like so distant. And I think they've lost the fun of it because they stopped praying for the little things. You know, we live in a time that's filled with all kinds of cynicism and skepticism, but we don't have to give in to it. We can fight back. After all, it's not actually that much fun being cynical and skeptical all the time. So I encourage you, like, get the joy back, get the fun back. Try praying for lots of little things and just see what happens. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're not even going to wait 30 seconds. Here's your assignment right now. I want you to think of one little thing that you can pray for. It can't be anything big. So no jobs, no major healings, nothing that's big, only little things. Okay? Something that doesn't matter that much, actually. But maybe something you'd like to get. Maybe something you'd like to find. Just some little thing. I want each person to think of one thing. Okay? I'll give you a second. One thing. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to one or two people right next to you right now. I want you to tell each other what your one little thing is and then pray together for each one of those little things right now. Start. Just one or two other people.